This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group, big supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. They already bought the first foursome, and we've sold half of them in the first 10 days for Todd Wright Tour XVII. Yes, Todd Wright Tour 17 is coming up. It's our football-themed event, October 28th at West Chase Golf Club. Brandon Legal Group not only has the first foursome, but Brandon Legal Group is assisting me in giving out shirts to everyone in this tournament. My thanks to Brandon Legal Group, and they just want you to know they are ready for your phone call when you need them, when you have a legal question, when you have legal advice. You need legal advice. You do not need to work in Brandon to call them. You do not need to live in Brandon to call them. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Look, if they're outside your area, they'll tell you up front. If you have something where they feel they can't help you, they'll tell you. Call to schedule a free consult when you need them. 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. And to answer your last question, well, what type of law services do they offer? All of them. Full service law firm. Full service law firm. One more time. Full service law firm. Brandon Legal Group, proud supporter of the Todd Wright Tour and the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Bucks Bulletin. This is Bucks Bulletin number 7. We did the 4 preseason editions, previewing all the positions, and now here we are, week 3 of the regular season. Little early offering this one, just because the Bucks are the last game of the weekend on Monday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Barring Le'Veon Bell showing up, this looks like another big fantasy matchup for the Buccaneers, where they potentially can put a number up early and say to their opponent, come get us. It wasn't quite as drastic against the Philadelphia Eagles, but it didn't need to be, because the Eagles offense and Nick Foles without Alshon Jeffrey, then early in the game without Jay Ajayi, is not where Drew Brees and the Saints offense was. Saints offense struggled actually against the Cleveland Browns, but did enough when it mattered, and had the help of some of the bad kicking that was out there around the NFL in week 2. A number of kickers lost their jobs as a result of their game tying or game losing performances, as it were. But right to work, first play, Fitzpatrick to DeSean Jackson. Again, we gave you that info a long time ago on the podcast, that with Fitzpatrick under center, DeSean Jackson would be fantasy relevant. We looked at it more from a DFS standpoint because you don't know the carryover, and it just seems like Jackson, you know, ended up injured in week 1, then was on the injury report, then came off the injury report for week 2. As we speak right now, looks okay for week 3 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. At this point, to pick up Jackson on waivers, as long as you're not dropping someone significant, I don't see why you wouldn't do it, because going forward, I don't see why Fitzpatrick isn't under center for the foreseeable future. Same with if for whatever reason Fitzpatrick is still on waivers in your league. Moments before game time on Sunday, I used an available roster spot that I felt was expendable to pick up Fitzpatrick on the chance that he would put up more, as I would call them, Tecmo Bowl numbers. He did. And now in my 2 quarterback league, he gets consideration as the number 2 starter. I'm obviously not sitting Kirk Cousins, but Fitzpatrick with his 8 touchdowns, right up there with Mahomes with his 6 touchdowns. Mahomes just put up 6 against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is the next opponent for the Buccaneers, and Fitzpatrick gets an extra day plus without a flight in there, home game to home game, to rest and get ready for whatever the Steelers have on defense, which at this point, it doesn't look like very much. Granted, Cleveland forced some turnovers that allowed them to get back in that game against the Steelers, but Mahomes simply lit them up. Mahomes has more weapons than Fitzpatrick does. Mahomes has Tyreek Hill. Mahomes has Sammy Watkins. Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Mahomes has a legitimate running game, which the Buccaneers still do not really do. Two straight weeks where they've had big leads, no back to hand the ball to shorten the game and get them out of there. Peyton Barber is not capable of that, which is why he's not a true number one running back for the Buccaneers. And he's probably not a fantasy starter as a result of that. So the Buccaneer fantasy starters this week, certainly Fitzpatrick. Granted, I don't think you're not sitting a big time QB1 for Fitzpatrick, but I could see you, if you are unhappy with the performance of a quarterback. I'm trying to give you an example of maybe someone where you're like, yeah, let's go ahead and do this for a week and see if it works. Matt Ryan had a good game. You don't want to overreact to a quarterback's performance. Stafford had a good bounce back game. Jimmy G's game was okay. Obviously, I would think you're putting Fitzpatrick in over Dak Prescott or over Eli Manning after what we've seen out of those two quarterbacks the last 2 weeks, but I don't think you were starting either of them anyway. Arizona's situation is not very good. David Johnson seems to be a good back on a bad football team. Second straight year, we're questioning whether or not drafting David Johnson early in the first round was worth it. Both not his fault. I'm trying to give you another just good situation with a quarterback that you could bench. I cut Mariota and picked up Fitzpatrick. And I don't see the downside in that in my two quarterback league. It wasn't a drastic move. I just don't want to deal with the Titans right now, who don't seem to have much of an identity. They were applauded for moving on from what they did last year, but what they did last year actually got them in the playoffs, and they won a playoff game. And I know they won over the weekend against the Texans, but I still don't know what to make of what they're doing with their two running backs. Corey Davis is staying healthy. Okay, that's encouraging for Corey Davis owners. Mariota said he didn't have feeling in his hand to throw the ball, yet they put him back on the field in Miami, and he overthrew a guy immediately by 20 yards, and then they pulled him out of the game. So not really sure what's going on there. But Fitzpatrick gets starter consideration, definitely in two quarterback leagues, certainly in DFS. And maybe if you're below okay, let's bring up Russell Wilson. Okay, Russell Wilson gets the Cowboy defense this week. Fitzpatrick gets the Steeler defense this week. I'd be tempted to make that switch for this week. I'm not saying you're cutting Russell Wilson, but off the Monday night game, and you know what? I mean, Russell Wilson's kind of a Dak Prescott right now. I think he's better than Dak Prescott. And again, I'm a Cowboys fan. I like Dak Prescott. I see what Dak Prescott can do when he's got enough around him to work with. He did it as a rookie, and he takes care of the football. At this point, he doesn't have anyone to throw to. This just in. Neither does Russell Wilson. He doesn't have anyone to throw to, especially with Doug Baldwin ailing. It's not much different from the Cowboys situation when your best target is a tight end that even fantasy owners had never heard of in Will Disley, and it was again in the Week 2 game. I mean, what are we doing here? At least Dak has Ezekiel Elliott on the field. Chris Carson hasn't done enough, and Penny doesn't look ready and just may not look the part long term. So Wilson's kind of in that Dak Prescott position without the ability to just simply hand the ball to Ezekiel Elliott or take advantage of defenses stacking offenses against Ezekiel Elliott. So yeah, I'd bench Russell Wilson week three to play Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would. If you get DeSean Jackson in there at a flex, just make sure he doesn't pop up on an injury report between now and Monday. Monday's always sort of a dangerous thing if you think a guy's going to be hurt. But as long as he's not on the injury report, why would you worry? Because the numbers have now said for two seasons, Fitzpatrick throws to DeSean Jackson. They have a good thing going. Jackson is clearly beating the drum for this guy. So Fitzpatrick's going to keep feeding him the ball. No reason to sit Mike Evans. You've been playing him a couple of weeks in a row. You drafted him as a wide receiver one. And as far as O.J. Howard, there are better tight ends out there, but Howard is part of a hot offense. Had a big play in which he got in the end zone, catch and run type play, which Howard seems to specialize on. Not so much those short yardage touchdowns near the goal line. It's more of a spreading Howard out and taking advantage of his matchups. So I don't think Howard is a tight end one play, but for how hot the Bucs offense is and how bad the Steelers just covered Travis Kelce, Kelce does split out some. Howard does more. Kelsey's the better tight end. But if you don't have a clear better option than Howard, then I could see you playing him at the tight end position. Says Steve Gallo says, you almost always want to play a wide receiver over a tight end in your flex spot if you can. Now, granted, in our foundation league, which is my personal league, 10-team league, our flex is only a wide receiver or a tight end, and I drafted Travis Kelce this year because I think Kelce just below the level of a Gronk and stays healthier than Gronk puts up numbers that justify him playing every week. I don't think Howard's at that point, but at least through the first 2 weeks, the Bucs are an offense. You want a piece of it. And honestly, I think there are pieces that have been out there on waivers to pick up, at least if you have the roster spot to pick up Fitzpatrick or Jackson or O.J. Howard, more so than Peyton Barber. On the Steelers side of things, Roethlisberger might be a guy that you're even sitting for Fitzpatrick in this game. Might be in not quite to the Russell Wilson level, but I think I'd rather have Fitzpatrick in this game than I would Ben Roethlisberger. Otherwise, Ben's still going to put up numbers. Antonio Brown, we had the Antonio Brown thing, whatever that was earlier this week. It's just not good for the Steelers. It's not a good look. People have been asking me about Le'Veon Bell and, well, what's Le'Veon Bell going to do? At this point, Le'Veon Bell has already done what he's going to do. Until the Steelers do something, Le'Veon Bell isn't coming in. Reminds me of that How I Met Your Mother episode where Barney Stinson would always pick up the women on the top of the Empire State Building who were supposed to meet a guy, and he could see in their eyes they're there and the guy isn't. He just walks up to him and says, he's not coming. And he picks him up and he takes him home and takes advantage of him. Le'Veon Bell's not coming until the Steelers do something. And right now the Steelers seem, they've always been the most loyal organization out there. Dan Rooney's not there anymore. So what's going on behind the scenes? Someone might need to make a move here. And Antonio Brown, it seems to be getting to him too. So there's a trickle-down effect there. And this isn't a good spot for the Steelers at all. Considering this is a team that in recent years has had a lot of meltdowns and been blown up by quarterbacks like Brett Hundley. So bad spot for the Steelers. You're still playing Antonio Brown. You're still playing James Conner. And you're absolutely playing Juju Smith-Schuster, who is a just real good wide receiver too, who doesn't look like he ever needs to leave the field. With all the attention going to Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster will get plenty of volume. The Steelers, with their breakdowns on defense, or as they showed last week, without Le'Veon Bell, James Conner does catch the ball out of the backfield, but he's not Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield. So that's more targets to someone. This past week, it was Jesse James. Remember, one of the untouchables that I had for you a month ago was Vance McDonald. Said, don't invest anything in Vance McDonald's volume in that playoff loss to the Jaguars just because it was an aberration. It was a desperation for the Steelers. Vance McDonald's not even the top tight end on his own team. And they've had him for a while now. It's not like he just got there or he just got there at the end of last year. Mm-mm. He's been there a while. It's Jesse James. So, but yeah, you're playing Juju, likely playing Ben. I'd rather play Fitzpatrick this week if I'm just playing, say, a DraftKings showdown format with the captain. Grant, you can play the two quarterbacks if you want. It's a little tougher to score with quarterbacks than it is with wide receivers, getting the bonus points for the receptions and some other things. But I think Fitzpatrick's the better quarterback play. But I think overall, if you don't have Fitzpatrick or a better option, you're still playing Ben Roethlisberger rather than playing, say, Dak Prescott or Eli Manning or in one quarterback leagues. But you're playing Antonio Brown, you're playing Juju Smith-Schuster, and you're still playing James Conner. So I think this week is pretty clear. It's just interesting that we get into week three, and I think in some cases there are still very playable guys on waivers, at least for right now, if you've got an expendable player, if you can drop that second DST, if you drafted three quarterbacks in a one quarterback league and you can drop that third quarterback and say you've been waiting for, I don't know. I mean, Josh Rosen could start any time, and I actually think he's going to be good. At this point, I'd rather pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick and play him while he's hot. I'd rather pick up DeSean Jackson, see what I can get out of him, especially if I'm light at wide receiver or I have a wide receiver injury or I'm not really sure about my flex play. I'm not benching Juju Smith-Schuster to play DeSean Jackson. No, not doing that. Because Juju is a rock-solid wide receiver, too, at this point. You probably even get away with Juju being a wide receiver one at this point just because of the volume he's going to get. And again, until the Steelers tighten up their defense, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot coming from behind. So there's the fantasy look at Bucks and Steelers. Again, it's an early one because some things could pop up. Keep checking the injury reports and otherwise for Monday night. Some name that we talked about will probably pop up as questionable or something will come up later in the week, and then follow that towards game time and handle that accordingly. Remember, the next edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast will come your way Friday and or Saturday, previewing all of the Sunday and Monday matchups. We'll do our best we can. We'll start looking at matchups now that we're 2 weeks in. I firmly believe, like, through the first 2 weeks, you might tweak via waivers a player or two. For example, the Lindsey claim that I made after week one with the Broncos, that might actually work out for me. He's out touching Royce Freeman, who was drafted as high as maybe round four, round five in some season-long drafts. But I don't think you were making a lot of lineup changes the first 2 weeks. Now that we've got a two-game set, we might see some patterns. We might be wanting to say, all right, this guy through two games is part of a productive offense. That guy through two games hasn't hit the ground running. I'm going to make the switch. And I wouldn't blame you for making the switch, so we'll talk about that in the next Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast and know when each new podcast drops. I thank you very much for your support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, you can email me with any questions other than, don't ask me, who should I start, A, B, or C? Who should I start? I need two of these. Here are my four. Don't ask me those questions. Let's have a conversation about a player, and specifically talk about an individual player, what they are doing, and what you expect them to do. And you can ask me about multiple players, and then I'll give you opinions on the players, and you make up your own mind. That's the way we do it. I want you to pick your own lineups based on information available. It's what I do. It's what you can do. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Golf.com. If you have any questions about the golf tournament, we're always looking for new players in the golf tournament, and I welcome individuals, twosomes, threesomes, foursomes. It's only $68 per player. I just left Better Bird. They will be catering the lunch and providing their wonderful trays of mini donuts for the dessert, for the dinner that follows golf. Yes, I feed you twice. And my tournaments cost roughly 30 to 50% less than other golf tournaments. I give you more for your money, and I ask you for less of it. You can email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com or just go to joebucksfan.com/golf to see how to register for Todd Wright Tour XVII at West Chase Golf Club on Sunday, October 28th, where you even pick NFL games to give you an advantage in the golf tournament. We have a lot of fun with that. We'll even be playing some speed golf that day as well on 9 and 18. A lot of things going on and a lot of fantasy to talk about. Email me with any of your individual questions. Just don't ask me to pick your starters. One more time. Just don't ask me to pick your starters. Don't give me the either or questions. Give me a question and I will answer it. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next time. This has been the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of the Todd Wright Tour. And if you play in Todd Wright Tour 17, you're going to end up with a Todd Wright Tour t-shirt courtesy of Brandon Legal Group.